there's an interesting dynamic going on in the influencer marketing and influencer monetization space right now, where things like subscriptions and gifts, branded merchandise and things like that are becoming more and more important as revenue streams for the creators, for the influencers themselves.
Hey gang, it's Tuesday, January 11th. Debbie and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Smartly.io. I'm Marcus. I'm joined today by our principal analyst who covers everything social media. It's Deborah Aho-Williamson.
Hey Marcus.
Hey Debbie, thanks for hanging out. Today's fact, the fastest man in the world has scoliosis. So you might assume that someone who can run as fast as Usain Bolt would be the embodiment of physical perfection. But it turns out Bolt has had his share of physical difficulties to overcome, including scoliosis, defined by the Mayo Clinic as a sideways curvature of the spine that most often is diagnosed in adolescence. Mr. Bolt told ESPN magazine in 2011, "My spine's really curved bad, but if I keep my core and back strong, the scoliosis doesn't really bother me. So I don't have to worry about it as long as I work hard." Remarkable. So Mr. Bolt, for context, he can top out at 27 miles per hour during 100 meters. That's nearly as fast as a white-tailed deer, which I've never seen run before. But I assume if you've got four legs and you're a deer, you can run faster than people.
That's incredible.
It's remarkable. So it's remarkably inspiring. I find literally any excuse to not go outside and to do anything physical. I could be like, oh, it might rain sometime this year. I should probably just stay in the whole year, just the whole time.
And then there's Usain Bolt, who, you know, has scoliosis and is the fastest man in the world.
So, still the fastest person. Yeah, remarkable. In my research on fast things, I decided to figure out what people are not faster than. So a jackal, a domestic rabbit, a kangaroo, and a warthog. These are things you can't outrun, okay? So if you see one of these things, what you want to start thinking about is who in your group you're going to have to sacrifice, okay? Because there's no negotiating with a domestic rabbit. On that cheery note, today's real topic, the key social trends to watch for in 2022. All right, Debbie, today we're talking about social trends people should be paying attention to in 2022. You worked on a report in conjunction with Blake Droche, one of our analysts, and also Jasmine Emberg, one of our senior analysts, on this Insider Intelligence's Social Media Trends to Watch in 2022 report. What's next for Facebook advertising, viral commerce, creator monetization, social audio, and short videos? So there's lots in there. We're going to talk about two trends in particular. And you wanted to talk about viral commerce and also micro and nano influencers. So let's talk about viral commerce first. The trend you talk about is viral commerce will be the it trend in social commerce. Debbie, what are you talking about here?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. So this one came from my colleague Blake, but I 100% agree with it. So this has to do mainly with the hashtag TikTok made me buy it. If anybody remembers that phenomenon from 2021, Marcus, did TikTok make you buy anything? Just out of curiosity?
It did not, no. No, I bombarded with TikTok videos from my friends. I don't even have TikTok, but I feel like that's all people send me. And I'm like, I'm fine, by the way. Thanks for asking an actual question about my life, friends. But no, look, I think I'm the only person on the planet that TikTok hasn't gotten to yet.
This phenomenon has been amazing. We've read, obviously seen like countless articles about the products of all types that became famous on TikTok last year. This was through viral commerce. And so based on what we've seen in 2021, we are predicting that brands and retailers this year are looking to cash in on this TikTok made me buy it phenomenon, will increasingly strategize around viral commerce. So this is the practice of creating content that's designed to show off products in an entertaining and a visually appealing way, i.e. with a short video, so that it's shared widely across social media, which I think is really interesting. So, you know, obviously TikTok is leading the way here. So TikTok has been the home for this sort of viral commerce for a while. It's really building up its prowess around social commerce, and more specifically, not just around social commerce, but around influencers and creators and how they can play a role in pushing these products to be purchased, either on TikTok or outside of TikTok. It really doesn't matter. But we're going to see this trend spread to other platforms. In many cases, with influencers helping to lead the way, we're going to probably see it more and more on Instagram. We'll probably see it on Facebook. This is, I think, the way that one of the key ways that social commerce is going to take off in 2022 is by tapping into this viral nature of commerce and using short videos, often creator-driven, to promote products.
So you mentioned a couple of the platforms there. Is there a dark horse platform to watch out for in the viral commerce space? Another way of phrasing that could be just the most interesting. It doesn't mean have to be, you know, TikTok, because it's the biggest in this arena at the moment, but one that you're paying the closest attention to for one reason or another?
I'm going to have to say two platforms. So, you know, Instagram is the obvious one. It's not a dark horse at all. So I guess I wouldn't call it a dark horse. But certainly, we want to see what Instagram is going to do to try to match what TikTok has done in 2021. But the dark horse, I guess you would say, would be Snapchat. I mean, you know, social commerce for Snapchat is a bit different. In a lot of cases, it involves augmented reality, which is Snapchat's really pretty unique twist on commerce. So I'm expecting to see more from Snapchat in augmented reality-driven commerce. The idea of viral is a bit harder on Snapchat because of the way it's constructed. So there's much more person-to-person communication, small group communication. So if Snapchat were to make a breakout in this area, it would really have to involve, you know, getting your crew, your small band of people that you're connected to on Snapchat to gravitate towards something that you perhaps were buying. So maybe we'll see some interesting developments there.
And are there any examples from last year that you can point to? If there's no clear examples of, you know, the best kind of case studies from last year in terms of the best kind of viral content, are there any kind of best practices on how to create this type of content? Or another way of looking at it could be, are there any things that you would encourage advertisers to do in terms of taking steps to head in this viral commerce direction?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one interesting takeaway is that the kinds of products that succeeded in, you know, the TikTok made me buy it phenomenon weren't like necessarily household names. They were very esoteric in many cases, everything from yoga pants to a portable carpet cleaner that ended up going viral and leading to really big sales. You know, on a personal note, this doesn't have to do with TikTok, but my daughters saw this thing called a burrito blanket, and one of them bought my other daughter that for Christmas because they saw it on a YouTube video. So there's an example right there. So these are not necessarily going to be major mainstream products. These are going to be things that were unexpected. So I think marketers should lean into that as a first step. You know, I think the other thing to think about is making your content shoppable. So all content ultimately in social media will probably end up having a shoppable component to it. Maybe not this year, but in the succeeding years. So whether that means, you know, direct links to shop or promotions or ties to creators, something that makes this content, you know, shoppable, I think is going to be a key part of building out viral commerce. So marketers probably should also think about ways that they can make their content more shoppable as they think about what they're doing in social media this year.
All right, the big question at this point has to be, what the hell is a burrito blanket?
I wish I could share a picture of it. imagine a big white blanket that looks like a tortilla. Right? It's got the little brown spots on it that look like, you know, the toasted brown, and it's a circle, and you just wrap yourself up in it and you look like a burrito.
Amazing. I need three of them at least. Let's move to another trend. 2022 will be the year of the micro and nano influencer. Why, Debbie?
So this is a really interesting one as well. So obviously, influencer marketing in general is growing very rapidly. You know, we're forecasting that spending on influencer marketing in the U.S. will go past $4 billion this year. But well, the interesting part here is that in the past few years, influencer marketing has grown mainly through the use of baby celebrity and, you know, mega influencers, you know, the great big names with millions of followers that you can probably all think about. There have been many other types of influencers over the years with smaller followings, but marketers haven't necessarily gravitated towards them as much as they probably will be this year. So we're forecasting that this year is going to be the year of the micro and nano influencer. So these are terms that are not very specifically defined, but in our minds, these are influencers with people with anywhere from around 5,000 to maybe up to 100,000 followers. And these people are going to become more important to marketers this year. There's a couple of reasons why we think that is. One is because people look at these influencers with smaller followings as more like them, very similar to them. They tend to think of them as friends and family, as opposed to people that they might, you know, idolize, who they maybe could aspire to, but or maybe not, never aspire to, if it's the case of, you know, say, a Kardashian. So influencers with smaller followings tend to be more authentic. They're more appealing to brands because of that authenticity, because of their ability to speak more directly to their followers. And I think a third reason why is because there's an interesting dynamic going on in the influencer marketing and influencer monetization space right now, where things like subscriptions and gifts, branded merchandise and things like that are becoming more and more important as revenue streams for the creators, for the influencers themselves. So you can imagine that the influencers with the larger followings, it's more likely they're going to gravitate towards subscriptions because they're going to be able to build a revenue base from that. That's not really as easy for smaller influencers with smaller followings to do. So they're also going to have to look more towards brands for their own revenue. So it's an interesting storm coming together where larger influencers have more revenue streams outside of this working with brands. So they may be less interested in working with brands. Meanwhile, the influencers with smaller followings are being perceived as more authentic, more real, and more like consumers. So those two things come together, and I think marketers are going to need to work more closely with influencers that have a smaller follower base.
Deb, you mentioned that influencer marketing will cross the $4 billion mark in the US this year. US influencer marketing spending, according to our numbers, so it spiked 34% last year. It had grown 14% the year before, and will be 12% this year. So from 2020 to 2022, that goes 14, 34, 12. So that spike in the middle. What happened last year?
Well, last year there was still a pandemic going on. That's one thing. So, marketers are looking for many ways to reach people. Social media, obviously, still a very, very important platform for marketers. You know, I think it really has to do with marketers finally, in some cases, coming around to the value of working with influencers. I mean, for as long as influencer marketing has been around, I don't know that every marketer has realized that influencers, how powerful they really can be in helping to sway the purchase preferences of their followers. Another aspect I think I would put into that is the rise of TikTok. You know, TikTok has become a really enormous platform for influencer marketing very quickly. And I think all of the money that's being spent on TikTok influencers is probably new-ish money to influencer marketing. And so I think that's increased the pie as well.
Mm-hmm. Finally, really quick, do we know / have you seen any research showing the share of influencer dollars going to larger versus smaller influencers? Do we have any sense of what that kind of ratio would be and how it's trending?
Unfortunately, I haven't seen anything yet, and our forecast doesn't break it down. That said, we know obviously that influencers with smaller followings will be less expensive, right? Because typically what you pay an influencer has to do with the size of their following. So we did see some data from earlier last year from Hype Auditor that said that about 70% of influencers with 1,000 to 10,000 followers were charging less than $100 per Instagram post, whereas over 3/4 of influencers with more than 1 million followers charged $1,000 or more per post. So the spending certainly is going to be very different depending on the size of the influencer. But as far as the breakdown of the overall market, I have not yet seen that.
Okay. Look forward to seeing, some of those numbers from anywhere, to be honest. Be interesting splits. That's all we've got time for the lead story. It's time now for the halftime report. Debbie, what are your takeaways from each of the two predictions you had for us in the first half?
Sure. So regarding viral commerce, we really do think that the key way that social commerce is going to grow in 2022 is through viral commerce, through making content that shows off products in an entertaining way, visual way that's designed to be shared. And then regarding influencers, there's going to be a shift. So while marketers will continue to use celebrity and macro influencers, there will be more and more marketers will be gravitating towards micro and nano influencers, influencers with followings of generally 100,000 or less.
All right, time for In Other News, but first a quick word from our sponsor, Smartly.io. Hi to all the social media marketers out there, listen up. Social platforms have become more important than ever for brands. You know this. So if you're looking to scale your social advertising in 2022, look no further. Smartly.io is number one in social media advertising. They help brands automate every step of the process by combining creative production and ad buying to unlock greater performance. To get the brand new 2022 social advertising trends report, go to smartly.io/emarketer. All right, folks, we are back today in other news. What was the most visited site in the world in 2021? And live stream shopping is poised to grow even more in 2022. Story one, TikTok dethroned Google as the most visited site in the world in 2021, according to cloud services company Cloudflare, writes Natalie Coulton of Marketing Dive. In 2020, TikTok had come in seventh, but they're now first. The social video app crossed the 1 billion user mark in September of last year, double the year prior. App Annie thinks they will reach 1.5 billion monthly active users towards the end of 2022. Debbie, in your opinion, TikTok will blank in 2022.
Well, I think TikTok will soar to new heights in 2022. That's not probably not such a hard prediction to make, to be honest. But you know, we're seeing increases in time spent among its users. We're seeing increases, of course, in its number of users as well. So our inaugural forecast, our own forecast, the Insider Intelligence forecast for worldwide users puts TikTok at a 41% increase in 2021. And a further 15% increase in users in 2022. So yeah, it had a banner year in 2021. I'm not surprised that this firm found that TikTok was the most visited site in 2021. And I think that a lot of what TikTok is doing is going to continue. You know, one thing I do want to say, though, regarding this research, I looked into it a bit. And I do know that this is a global ranking, so I wanted to make that clear. And it includes all domains associated with this main domain. So, and it's everything basically that has to do with TikTok is rolled up under TikTok.com in its reporting. So, one thing that I'm not clear on, and I wasn't able to determine in looking at this, is whether it includes Douyin or not, which is the Chinese version of TikTok. If it does, I think that would make it more understandable and maybe less aha than it sounds, because the Chinese version of TikTok is massive in China.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's a great observation. In case folks are wondering what Cloudflare has as the top 10 most visited sites in 2021, it went TikTok, and this is the .com version, as Debbie mentioned, TikTok, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, and then Amazon, Netflix, YouTube, Twitter, and WhatsApp rounds out the top 10. Story two, live stream shopping is poised to grow even more in 2022, writes Patrick Kolb of Adweek. CoreSite Research expect the US live streaming market to reach $11 billion this year, growing to $25 billion by 2023. Gartner analyst Ant Duffin says growth is happening on two fronts. Number one, social platforms rolling out easy-to-use tools so users can buy things they see during a live video stream. Number two, retailers themselves beefing up their live stream shopping capabilities using third-party technology. But consumers don't share social platforms' enthusiasm for live shopping yet, writes Insider Intelligence analyst Rachel Wolf. While nearly 4 out of 10 US adults have watched a live stream of a person talking about a product they may want to buy, less than 1 in 10 made a purchase based in part on the host's recommendation, according to an April 2021 Harris Poll survey. Debbie, live stream shopping in 2022 will be blank.
Live stream shopping in 2022 will not live up to the hype.
Oh, tell us more.
Yeah, well, I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, there's quite a lot of retailer enthusiasm, but really not so much on the consumer side. And we've seen this with many things over the past, you know, as in social media and elsewhere in digital marketing, where, you know, retailers or marketers end up being out further ahead than consumers are. Consumers tend to trail behind. This isn't to say that live stream shopping won't take off in the future. I really just don't think it's going to be as big a thing as maybe retailers are hoping it will be this year. I think consumers are just intrigued by it, but it's just not turned that corner yet. Just like, remember a few years ago, many years ago at this point, where like every year was going to be the year of mobile. You know, this was, you know, 10 years ago. We all have iPhones now. You know, of course, every year is the year of mobile. But before that, you know, we were all computer based. And then they'd say, okay, well, you know, this year we're going to be, you know, mobile is going to be this, this, and this. And then you get to the end of the year and then it didn't happen. This is a little bit similar to that.
Uh-huh. It almost seems a little bit unfair as well to live streaming, because if there was nothing to compare it to, then, you know, $11 billion, $20 billion, that would be pretty good. But CoreSite Research expect China's live stream shopping industry to reach $300 billion this year compared to America's 11. So it's almost like, you know, the same way that social media companies going up against Facebook, it's an unfair comparison, or podcasts going up against Joe Rogan, or any NFL player going up against Tom Brady. Like, you may have won 5 rings, but it doesn't matter because Tom won 7. And so I feel like it's a bit unfair to compare the two, China, you know, where this is really popular, and the US or Western market, similar to super apps as well. We're not going to have the super apps that China's able to accomplish, but maybe something a little bit closer to that than what we already have. Finally, according to a recent report from Buy With, the retail companies that have seen the most success thus far in live streaming have a few key factors in common. Number one, a knowledgeable host who's able to maintain engagement with viewers. Number two, promotion of the stream across different channels. Number three, exclusive offers that incentivize signups. That's all we've got time for this episode. Debbie, thank you so much for hanging out today.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thanks to Victoria. She edits the show. And thank you to everyone listening in. We'll see you tomorrow, hopefully, for the Behind the Numbers Brand Anatomy, the marketer podcast made possible by Smartly.io, where our very own Jeremy Goldman, director of the eMarketer Briefing, where he'll be talking to Brad Essig of Dr. Teals. Domestic rabbit. Warthogs, terrifying. That's actually, pigs run fast. I spent way too much time on this.
Apparently, this is for someone who doesn't exercise or claims to not exercise, you did spend a lot of research time looking at this topic.
Dangerous things outside, yeah, are they?